Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. And we're continuing to revise HuntRealEstate.com. We're going to have a complete new iteration of it coming shortly later in the fall. And it is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, and all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's guaranteed. Also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. So call Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700, for personalized, customized, what we like to call knock your socks off service. Check out that low rate guarantee. Certain restrictions do apply, but I encourage you to try that today. There's no better offer in the market today. And also, if you've already talked to a mortgage consultant someplace else, talk to our people on that Second Look program. All you can do is make money. So it's a good deal for you. So call there, 633-3700. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Utica, Watertown, and even Phoenix, Arizona. Simply dial 716-631-4800. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about. No matter whose listing it is, the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve, on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. It doesn't have to be ours. So you drive by a sign. There's all that stuff on the sign. You can't remember what the phone number is. Just remember 631-4800. Call us. We'll get you the information very fast. There's no faster way to get information on a house. There is no faster way. You can log into your computer and go to a website and get all the information, or you can just call 631-4800. We are in a very active market set of market conditions, and that's why we're here today on the show for you. We have one of the experts, in my mind, in the marketplace today, here in the studio with me today, on the real estate market, and that is James Hoffman. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Peter.
It's good to have you with us again. Before we get into the show, I just want to remind our listeners that Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider for hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. We also support the Buffalo Bisons. This show is broadcast live, so if you'd like to participate in the show, call us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, or star 930. Those are all free calls, so join us on the air. As I said, we have a very special show for you today. We're going to be examining the market through the eyes of one of our, I think, premier experts in the marketplace today on what's going on in the real estate world. So, Jim, the market is an interesting place right now. Sales are clipping along.
Yes, they are.
But we have a record low inventory, and you and I have talked a lot about this. What's behind that? Why do we have a low inventory?
Well, as I see it, Buffalo is so hot right now. There's just great, great things happening across Western New York. And the way I see people is they're telling me, you know, Jim, I know my house is going to sell, but where am I going to go? Where am I going to take my wife and my two kids and my dog and my fish tank? What am I going to do with that for 2, 3, 4, 5 months? And I think that's the biggest negative, is the market's just so hot, we just can't find people that are ready to take the plunge.
In the past, though, there's been some kind of equilibrium.
Yes.
There's been just simply more for people to see. How did the, in your opinion, what happened to create that really almost record low levels, not just here, but across the country, really?
Well, I think there's four groups that are buying in real estate right now in Western New York. The first group are people that moved out 15 years ago when Buffalo, quite honestly, was just kind of the armpit of New York State. There were no jobs. People wanted to eat, so they had to go. They went to, you know, California or Florida or the Carolinas, mm-hmm, or Atlanta, whatever. And they left. And, you know, Buffalo struggled along for quite some time. Well, now there's something called a job, and that's here in Buffalo. And there's a lot of jobs, a lot of great jobs, Medical Corridor, the waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
And those people that left, they're coming back. I've been a huge proponent of the internet for the past 5 years, and I would say maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago, I was getting about maybe 4, 5, 6 calls a month. You know, we're coming back to Buffalo. Well, that's really great. Well, now that number has probably quadrupled. I'm getting probably 15 to 18 people per month calling and saying, you know, we're moving back to Buffalo. I want to be next to Grandma and Grandpa or Uncle Joe or whatever. I want my kids to go to the schools. We sowed our Royal Oats and wherever, and they're coming back in droves, and it's very exciting. And I just keep hearing this over and over and over and over. Then you have the people who last year who, you know, honey, I think I want to move. And the husband and wife decided they're going to do that. So they went out, looked at their 10, 12, 15 houses, put an offer on one, and lost. Mm-hmm. And then they started listening to, you know, the Buffalo's hot. And they went out and took a look at another 5, 6, 7 houses and put an offer in, and they lost. And they did it about 3 times. And the husband looked at the wife and said, honey, we're not buying into this ridiculous market. We're not going to bother. Let's stay put. And so they did. And then they decided to have another child. And now this year, you know, dad lost his little room in the basement. That's gone with toys. And now the garage has 3 more bikes in it. And, you know, now what? Guess what? We have to move, honey. We got to move. The interest rates are going up, and we got to take advantage of this. So you got that second group of people coming in. And now that they've realized that they've lost appreciation for a year, the rates went up, their mortgage payment's higher, they either have to move or they have to stay put. And they're moving. So they're in the market. You got the investors. I'm all over the internet, and the investors that are coming to Buffalo is just, it's incredible the amount of people that are, that I'm getting phone calls from. You know, we're just moving to Buffalo. We're going to invest in Buffalo. People from New York, New Jersey, they're coming to Buffalo buying real estate, living here during the week, or excuse me, on the weekends, and they're going back in during the week and working. And or the mom or dad is a stay-home mom, they're staying here. And it's exciting to watch it happen. It's happening right in front of our eyes, and it's very, very exciting. That's kind of what I see happening.
So those are 3 groups. You've got people coming back. You've got kind of the optional move, and then which becomes the must move, and then you've got the investors.
Yes.
So is that 4 groups?
I think that's 3. I think I forgot the 4th one.
Well, 3 or 4.
It'll come up later.
The second group could be A and a B. So
yeah, there you go.
So there's 4 groups there someplace. Well, you know, that's very interesting because I hear constantly from our agents about the frustration of buyers today.
Very difficult.
That they are, and I talked to one young lady who just got married recently, and she had asked me about housing, and I referred her to one of our agents, and they looked and looked and looked, made a couple offers, lost a couple houses, and they decided to stay where they were.
Yep.
And now she said, asked me the other day, she said, what do you think about going back into the market now? And I said, she said, wait, I thought we should wait, but my husband wants to get back in. I said, listen to your husband.
Absolutely.
It's not a matter of that there's going to be 15 houses available today that might suit your needs, but you've got to be available for that one.
That's all it takes is one.
And so you've got to keep your eyes open. What this happens, just by way of supply and demand, though, Jim, this has to push prices up. Are you seeing prices actually go up?
Yes, I am, definitely.
And then do we have an issue on the backside of that with appraisals when someone buys a house and wants to get a mortgage, but maybe they had to bid $10,000 or $15,000 higher than the list price to get the house, and now does that affect the mortgage market at all?
We really haven't had too many problems with appraisals. The way I see it, the banks are saying Buffalo's hot, the appreciation's there, let's just do this. And so really we've had very few problems with appraisals. We're able to work it out with different comparisons. We can never choose the appraisers. Those days are completely over now, but you know, we're not having that big of a problem. The values are there.
What would happen to cause the inventories to grow again? I mean, to get back to anywhere near where they used to be even 3, 4 years ago.
I think a balanced market. That's what we need to see. We need to
see. How does that happen, though, Jim?
Well, you got me on that one. I don't think I can answer that one, Peter. I really don't.
Well, let's explore it for a second.
Sure.
Let's look at the things that would need to happen. Number one, and this is something that really is a product of a negative product of the recession. We need more new houses.
Yes.
We need as an option. So if you have a frustrated buyer in the existing home market, you've got to be able to show them something new.
Yes.
And unfortunately, there's not enough of that product.
Well, I think what happened is 4 or 5 years ago when the market really started to take off, I don't think the real estate community, the builders, the developers, I don't think any of us saw what was going to happen or what's about to happen in Buffalo. And I think the fact that, you know, you buy 50 acres, it takes 2-3 years to develop it with the towns and, you know, the DEC and all that it takes to go ahead and do that. now, you know, the demand is there, mm-hmm. and there's just not enough land, as you said. The cost of land is ridiculous right now. I mean, I'm not going to cite examples, but it's pretty scary what you have to buy or pay for not, just a postage stamp.
Not to mention the development costs.
Exactly. And that's getting passed on. If they have to hurry up and develop the land, well, that's time is money. So now the money is getting passed off to the individual buyers. So that brings the cost of new construction up.
And if you've got cost of carry for 3 or 4 or 5 years while you're waiting to put the
road in.
And before you can even break ground on a house, that's the case.
I feel bad for the builders. I really do. They're having a hard time.
And if you start today, you are really going to probably go through another economic cycle before your house is up. Your first house is up.
Absolutely. The time to say hi, I want to build a house. By the time you get the permits and put a shovel in the ground, build the house and move in. I mean, you know, you're already into next year, into next year.
Not to mention materials costs.
Absolutely.
Especially as we look at tariff issues and the cost of materials coming, particularly from Canada, lumber in particular.
Yep.
I think that matter will be settled, hopefully sometime soon, based on what I saw this week. But it's still there.
I agree.
And so lumber costs are going to be high.
Well, the money that people have lost, if you take a look at it, it almost sounds like a sales pitch, but it's not. People who looked in the market last year at just even a $200,000 house, the appreciation's been, I'd give it easy, 6% across the board for the past year. So on $200,000, that's $12,000 right there. The rates have gone up almost 0.5%. If you take that and factor that into what the money that comes out of your pocket, that's additionally about $12,500. So there's $25,000 that you lost already. Plus, your mortgage payment's going to be more.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you lost the mortgage deductions. So $30,000, $35,000 that you personally lost because you didn't act last year is not a sales pitch. That is real money that came out of your pocket. And people just don't look at it that way.
Mm-hmm. But if there wasn't the inventory, what's someone to do?
Work with a really good, aggressive real estate person. That's what you got to do.
And we're going to go to that as we go through the show here today, because I never want to leave our listeners with a less than hopeful perspective
Absolutely.
On this whole thing. So the first thing is builders need to come back into the market, and that's going to be a bit of a drawn-out process based on simply on timing. And also, to be frank, we've never had a real lot of new construction here relative to the total number of sales in our marketplace.
Absolutely. It's a small percentage.
In the biggest decade of new home construction, you know what it was? In the last 70, 80 years?
I'd say the 80s would be your bell.
1970s.
Really?
And that was also the greatest period of urban flight. Not quite the greatest, probably the 60s were the greatest era of urban flight. But what happened is we have essentially the same population in most of the kind of the metropolitan areas of upstate New York, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany,
mm-hmm.
basically the same population as there was 25, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. But what we have is it's more dispersed. So the urban centers have really been hurt until what you described earlier, the return to the urban centers became attractive again.
Mm-hmm.
And people actually living in a downtown area became attractive again.
Absolutely.
Which was not attractive for a long, long time. And it's interesting to see how businesses, the movement of businesses back to the city is paralleling that. And in so doing, they're bringing with them, though, a suburban mentality. For example, one of the things that will impact the value of the office space in downtown Buffalo is access and proximity to parking.
Makes sense.
Whereas in the larger urban areas, New York City, Boston, Washington, San Francisco, metropolitan or public transportation, other forms of transportation are widely used, and hence the pressure to find a parking place for your car is nowhere near as great. But in a city like Buffalo or Rochester or Syracuse, Albany, I want to park near the door.
Sure.
And that's the way we've been thinking. And I think it was largely a result of what happened in terms of that flight to the suburbs.
Has Uber helped us out tremendously on that end?
I think Uber will.
Yeah.
But it's only been here for a year. And so I think what's going to happen is that as people, businesses begin to locate around the dynamic areas of our city, as you pointed out, the medical campus, the waterfront, even along Delaware Avenue where many businesses have built new buildings or relocated, I think what we'll see is that if your job keeps you in the building all day, that you will seek other ways to get there.
Sure.
Now, our business means you're moving around, so it's a little more difficult for our business. But for the office worker of today, I think you're going to see a huge shift towards public transportation or personalized transportation, the Uber system, mm-hmm. for Lyft, that kind of thing, which can't help but, I think, improve the environment health-wise also, but also create a concentration of population. As that happens, and the reason why I go through that long monologue, as that happens, it will free up suburban real estate. So I think that's the second impact. A re-urbanization mm-hmm. will free up single-family homes, even in the city, but around the city in particular. So that's my second thing.
That's a very interesting point.
Urban repopulation. Thirdly, I think we also have to see a continued geographic shift. People will move from a big house in the suburbs to a smaller house, if they can find it, a condominium perhaps, and buy a second home or vacation home someplace else,
mm-hmm.
particularly as they approach retirement age.
Sure.
That will free up another house.
I agree.
And so we need to create that opportunity. That will go back to number one. We've got to build the product that people will want to move into so that they will then sell their house. And you're seeing a little bit of that. For example, the proposed project at Gates Circle, it's only a limited number, 12 or 15 houses, but that will create 12 or 15 listings that will be very, very good listings.
Sure.
And that will help the environment. But each one of those steps are something that are important. But I invite our listeners to comment on what they see out there. If you'd like to, you can reach us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, and if you're mobile, it's *930. So call us with your thoughts on this. But back to the issue of how we build the inventory back. And you described the other side of it, people that really should or need to move, not moving because they don't have options. Yeah. I hear this all the time, and I know you do. We would move if.
Yeah. It's difficult. It's to get people to understand what they have to commit to, not to be negative, but it's a job. You know, oh, I got to go buy a house. You know, it's kind of fun in the beginning, and then it becomes a job, and it really does. And then you start bickering, and you certainly don't want to settle. So there's a couple things, and I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit later. There's a couple things that buyers can do, and that's kind of what I've become in my business. I'm really no longer a salesman anymore. I really don't sell. We just educate people and get them through the humps and talk them off the cliff, quite frankly, of what they need to do to prepare themselves to become a competitive buyer.
After the break, we're going to go through that. But sure. Before we get to the break, talk to me about, and our listeners, about technology. One of the things that I think has been positive and a negative is the fact that at people's fingertips are every piece of property that's available in the marketplace today. Not at one site, but at thousands. Literally, yeah. There are thousands of sites in Buffalo, New York, where every single house that's on the market right now can be found.
It's wonderful, but it's also terrible. And the reason I say that is people just don't want to do the homework that it takes to get educated. They want to look at their phone or their laptop or whatever, their computer, and they want to do all investigations. And what they're not doing is they're not going out and seeing houses. And it's very frustrating. Well, Jim, I don't want to waste your time. I want you to waste my time. Please waste my time. Because when you're wasting my time, you're getting educated. I guarantee, I don't care how smart you are, how much money you have, how much money you don't have. If you don't go and do the homework, and the homework is real simple. It doesn't cost a dime other than gas. You have to get in your car. You have to drive over to a house. You got to get out of the car, and you got to go through the house. I don't care if it's a dump. If you walk in and say, I don't like it, it doesn't matter. Go through the house anyway. Get to understand. Get a baseline. You have to have a baseline.
We've got a caller on the line, Jim. This is Linda from North Tonawanda. Linda, how can we help you?
Hi. I just have a question. We have a duplex. We're trying to get ready to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been trying to get ready to sell it for like the last like 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
We may not be able to sell it until the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Only because there's, you know, repairs that need to be made. And, you know, you just want to look as good as it can when you're showing for, you know, prospective buyers.
Absolutely.
Just think that that's a bad idea to wait till the spring, or should we maybe just try to put it up as is as soon as possible, or what are your thoughts?
It's a very, very good question. Jim, how would you respond to Linda?
Well, Linda, not trying to build our inventory or anything like that, especially for investment real estate right now. There are a lot of investors out there wanting to invest in real estate. I was going to tell a quick story, but we're running out of time here, so I'll come back to that. Honestly, I don't think you need to wait. You really don't. The market is hot right now.
And I think she brings up a good point. How important, and I'm going to ask you this after the break, how important is making sure the house is perfect before you put it on the market? I think it's a little different today than it used to be.
We used to give a list of 10, 12 things. Today we give a list of three.
Okay.
The inventory is there. You really don't have to. If you want to take that money, invest it, or do something good with it, sell it now.
And we'll be right back with more from Our House Tours after these important messages.
Hi, this is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. When it comes to the single biggest purchase of your life, it pays to shop around. If you think you've found the best rate available for your home loan, why not let us take a second look? We'll review your rates and your terms and try to see if we can do better. And just for giving us a shot, we'll give you a $50 gift card.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes, not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona, through a link to HuntRealEstateAZ.com. You'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at HuntRealEstate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and for more information about our many exclusive programs, and Linda Malaya during the breaks have mentioned a couple of them, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, and we're going to come back to that because the call that came in from a questioner just a moment ago, and allows you to buy the before and effectively live the after. So call 633-3700 for details on that program, and also ask about our pre-purchase commitment, absolutely essential in today's world, because when you go into the market, there's a lot of people that will put on the contract cash and with no contingencies,
yep,
just to make sure they get the house. Basically, your pre-purchase commitment allows you to do exactly the same thing. So call Hunt Mortgage today, only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. And if you just simply prefer to pick up the phone and ask a question about anything relative to real estate, call the Hunt Customer Service Center at 633-9400. One of our customer service reps will either answer your call right there or your question right there, or direct you to the appropriate professional for your particular needs, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring your home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands, and this is the only one in the industry like this. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan, available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. And so stop into one of our many open houses this weekend. We're a little light because of Labor Day weekend, but make sure you check out what's available on the web and call a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent and see how that system might work for you. I'm in the studio today with Jim Hoffman, one of the leading experts in the real estate world here in our little part of the world. And we were talking, Jim, before the break, based on Linda's question about timing on putting something on the market and what's needed to make a home ready for sale, particularly given the product. So talk a little bit more about that.
Well, this weekend is probably one of the slowest weekends in real estate of the year. Everybody's doing last-minute vacations. Excuse me, don't even drive by a Walmart right now because you can't even get in the parking lot because everybody's shopping for school supplies and that kind of thing. And then we're going to get into next week. The kids are going back to school. So the slowest time of the year, in my opinion, next to Christmas, New Year's, that kind of thing, is this coming couple of weeks. So if I were going to put my house in the market, just being honest with you, I probably wouldn't do it until the middle of September when people start to focus back into real estate.
Wouldn't that put you in a better position, though, I would think? Because the people that are out are deadly serious.
True. I you can challenge me on that. I agree. And when people ask, it's like
December. Why would I put my house on the market in December? Because you're one of one, as opposed to why would I start looking in December? Because there's fewer buyers out.
Sure. The best time to buy is October, November, December. It always has been, always will be. Struggle.
So these 2 weeks then might be a good time to buy. So it might be a good time to put your house on the market too. So
All right, I'm with you.
Okay. back to Linda's question, yes, about her house. And she said there are things they wanted to do to the house to make it ready for sale and wait till spring. I'm sure there's lots of people thinking exactly the same thing out there. What are your thoughts?
You don't want to put a Band-Aid on it. There's a problem, Linda. I mean, painting, cleaning up, that kind of thing, obviously you're going to want to do that kind of thing. If it's something major, you need to get the major things done. Our list of things that we've given to people has diminished tremendously.
What's on the list now?
Just staging is probably the biggest thing. Moving furniture around, taking a leaf out of a dining room table to make the room look bigger, taking a chair out, things like that. Minor painting, you know, just cleaning up, caulking. Just, it's the little stuff that make people unfold their arms and say, you know, this is a good one, honey. Smells, big one. You got to get rid of odors, whether it's pets, that kind of thing. Cleaning the carpeting. Washing the windows, that's huge, especially if you have a nice lot. People want to look out, they want to see the birds, they want to see the trees, they don't want to see, you know,
spider webs.
Yeah, exactly right. So a lot of the smudges, stuff we tell people to do really is elbow grease. We're not getting you to gut kitchens and things like that. It's elbow grease, and that makes a big difference. Clean up. Use the vacuum. Have the kids get rid of the webs in the basement. I'm 6'2". I get bit by spiders at least once a week because I'm in so many basements. Please, all you got to do is take a shop vac, you know. So clean up the furnace, the hot water tank. Just make it look a little newer. Mm-hmm. So that's usually the list that we give to people. It's really the elbow grease things.
It's common sense stuff, but
people don't do it.
At the same time, you live in a house, and the simple description when people ask me is goes like this. Living in a house, that's your home.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're selling a home, you have to look at it as a physical being, a house.
Yes.
And you,
separate set of eyes.
Absolutely right. You have to take a different set of eyes and look at that property as if you were buying it, which is a lot different than living in it.
And one of the problems is real estate people are afraid to tell people that. Oh, I want to get the listing, so I'm going to tell you what you want to hear. That's not what you want to hear. Yeah, you want somebody in your face saying you have to do these things, and you will get compensated tremendously
exactly
if you
right.
do that. And it's a shame to see real estate people just don't do that.
And all the things you listed are not very expensive.
No, it's elbow grease. It's exactly. dimes.
Exactly. So we have a caller in line. This is Toby from Buffalo. Toby, how can we help you?
Yeah, gentlemen, I have a bad credit, you know, due to not paying the student loan, not paying it back. But mm-hmm. My point was, I was trying to do a plan about being a first-time home buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Jump into, like, a low-cost mobile home and, you know, save money and, you know, then build a credit. Or would I just go into, you know, zero down, high interest, bad, you know, bad credit loan for a regular home?
Let me answer that one if I can. I'll ask Jim to comment on it too. We call the people that work with our customers at Hunt Mortgage, mortgage consultants for a reason. Oftentimes people have exactly the same issues that you have, Toby, and that is that something, you know, happened in their past and there's some kind of mark on their credit and their credit scores and what it could be. Our mortgage consultants are skilled in a way to help you correct that. It may take a little time, but what we urge you not to do is jump into something temporarily that's going to be unsatisfactory for yourself and for your lifestyle, but rather work to correct the issues, which we can help you with. That's our job as a consultant. We just don't take applications. We work with you to solve problems, and in so doing, hopefully there's a better outcome for you down the road. So call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700, and speak with a mortgage consultant. Explain your situation to them, and I think you'll find a more satisfactory result. Jim, what would you say?
I'm right with you there, Peter. Toby, it doesn't take long to fix credit, depending on how, you know, how marked up it is. Diane has been my go-to person for, it's coming up in 30 years, and she is awesome. There's no other word to describe Diane Sovereign is awesome. She works with everybody. I don't care if you're a $20,000 buyer or a $400,000 buyer, it doesn't matter. She will get you in the right direction, and it doesn't cost any money to do that. You don't want to do this on your own, Toby. Get some professional help. I don't think there's any fees at all for that.
There's no fee.
Yeah, you just want to be coached so that you can become a buyer sooner rather than later, because we're appreciating. So I'm agreeing with Peter. If you jump into something now, super high interest, you're going to settle and you're going to be selling in 2 or 3 years anyway. So if it takes you a year to fix your credit and get things going, you'll be much better off. You can buy that second-time home buyer house instead of the first-time home buyer house.
And there's an important distinction about mobile homes versus single-family detached residence, and that's called personal property versus real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole different ball game, different mortgage situation.
It's like buying a car, yeah. You get a title, you can close in 3 days. It's just like buying a car or motorcycle.
Exactly, but it's not real estate.
Right.
And that's the important distinction, and it's financed differently too. So, Toby, we would like to help you, and that's available through Hunt Mortgage, through one of our mortgage consultants. Excuse me. Back to the issue, Jim, of the timing, which I think Linda was asking about earlier, which is critical. Linda's on the fence, and as your point was, do what you would do from a common sense standpoint to make it show better.
Sure.
And you have a relatively short list today, which
yes.
I'm sure you'd be happy to supply to Linda.
Absolutely.
So Linda, at the end of the show, Jim's going to give out his phone number, call him, and I'm sure he can give you that short list and help you make that decision. But
I think, just to interrupt, Linda, what you need to think about is what you're going to do with that money. If you are going to go to Vegas and put it on red, you might want to wait till next year. But if you're going to invest it, you can do what's called a tax-deferred exchange. You can avoid all the taxation on the duplex, take all that money and buy a condo or buy land or buy a single-family home or buy two homes or buy a Florida home, whatever you want to do. That's where I think you need to do. If you want to wait 6 months, our market changes, and it changes. After 9/11, our business took a dive for a long time, I remember.
Actually, the dive itself, in terms of market activity, was short, but the net impact was durable.
Did okay in Buffalo, but
having said that, the market went through an incredible appreciation from 2001 to 2006, or even the beginning of 2007. 2007 to 2011 was, in my mind, the worst time in real estate history.
Yeah, the 2008, the crash.
Since the Great Depression.
Yeah.
And because of that, all the rules have changed, in my opinion. Well, let's talk a little bit about that, Jim, because you lived through it, I lived through it. And I think while we were going through it, it was relatively surreal, because I remember going to conferences in beginning of 2008, hearing the learned experts saying, well, that this thing would be over in the third quarter of 2008. Well, third quarter of 2008 was the crash. That was when Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, Merrill Lynch, everybody
10 years ago.
Everybody went through, that's 10 years ago, almost to the day. It was early September 2008.
Wow.
And that was something we didn't come back from for a long time.
I remember living through it.
For a long time. And having said that, though, our company had progressively growing number of transactions year after year until 2011, when that was the first flattening that I had seen since 1997. Now, you lived through all that.
I remember 97. Oof.
That was a terrible year.
Everybody was saying, it's got to be over, it's got to be over, and it just kept on getting worse and worse. In 97, I remember, that was probably one of the worst year in my career in real estate. I remember that very, very definitively.
Go back 10 years before that, 87 was the big crash in the stock market. So these things happen, you know.
Yeah.
So we've had 10-year cycles there, and the 90s was one of the greatest periods of time until 97 for all kinds of financial instruments, including housing. And then the 2000s, we had the boom following 9/11,
yep.
and then the crash. And we've had the longest period since of recovery.
This past 5 years has been unbelievable. Everybody keeps talking about the bubble. I just don't believe in the bubble, not in Buffalo. I really don't.
Well, the I hear that bubble conversation, too. And I think the bubble really resides in the high end. And it's already affecting the high-end real estate all across the country. I saw a report on television in the last day that talked about high-end real estate and how the cumulative reduction in prices in the last 30 days has been like the most significant cumulative reduction in prices of high-end real estate in history or something like that. I mean, it was, I don't know how they even calculated that, but it was a staggering number. And we'll be right back with more from Our House Tears after these important messages.
Hi, this is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. When it comes to the single biggest purchase of your life, it pays to shop around. If you think you've found the best rate available for your home loan, why not let us take a second look? We'll review your rates and your terms and try to see if we can do better. And just for giving us a shot, we'll give you a $50 gift card.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience, and it's more than just looking at houses. There's a whole bunch to it. And to help me with that discussion, I have one of the experts in the field, Jim Hoffman, here in the studio with me today. And we're going to talk a little bit about Jim's actual practices and what that might mean for you in our last segment here, and what the market, how it's shaping up in Jim's mind as we look forward. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. I encourage you to call them today and find out about how you can repair your credit, as one of our callers was talking about, or even find out what's many, many, many mortgage products out there and the one that might be best for you. When you hear what the mortgage rates are today, that's for a particular kind of buyer buying a vanilla product. It's not, doesn't begin to open the door to all the products and services available in the mortgage world today. And you've got to be prepared for what's going on out there. Best way to do that is talk to one of our mortgage consultants, 633-3700. And Diane Sovereign, of course, has been our leading mortgage consultant for years. And Jim mentioned her before. How would our listeners reach Diane just so we could directly? Do you
You can call her cell phone, 697-0899, 697-0899. She has been my go-to person for nearly 30 years. I think we're up well over like $75 million in business or some crazy thing. She's just excellent at what she does. She cares, and you can't go wrong. I don't even call anybody else when I'm buying or selling real estate.
Jim, earlier in the show, you talked about the process of, you said something interesting that you're not really a salesman, but what you really are is more of an advisor or consultant in the process of buying and selling a home. Elaborate on that a little bit, because I think that's an interesting observation.
Well, with the internet, whatever website you're on, Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com, Redfin, whatever, people are relying on the internet now because there's so much information out there. And it's all good information, but it's not enough information because people think that they can just go and look at one or two houses and buy one. So the people that call me on a daily basis, it's not illusions of grandeur, but that's what they think. And what they think is just not true. Very, very seldom do we meet somebody at a home and they buy it. I mean, if that happens to me once every 2 years and we do 100 transactions plus a year, that would be a lot. It just doesn't happen. So the learning curve of, oh, I'm going to go on Zillow and I'm going to do all my own homework and look at the Zestimates and all this kind of stuff, it's okay. It's good information, but it's not enough. So when you wake up that day and decide that it's really time to buy a house, that's when you want to interview. Everybody should interview two or three real estate people. Just do it. I know it's time and you're going to get pitched and blah, blah, blah. There's a difference out there. There's a difference between a part-time person, a full-time person. Now teams are becoming very big in Buffalo.
All across the country.
Across the country. Yeah, definitely across the country. And it's finally starting to take effect in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. It's been painful because people don't get it. And we're kind of this unicorn walking around. But the team effort, in my opinion, is the way to go. But you got to do your homework. And the more homework you do, the more prepared you are to get a better deal on real estate. You got to do your homework. It's simple.
And part of that, I think, is an important recognition in our industry, which is really been a sole proprietor kind of industry, where the individual independent contractor agent functions pretty much as an island. Mm-hmm. And what you've done and what I think thinking agents are doing more and more is saying, look, I can't be good at everything.
It can't be done.
And so to round out a total experience for a consumer, for a customer, you have surrounded yourself with experts in certain aspects of the transaction.
Absolutely.
Administrative people, transaction coordinators, buyer agents. And this is something that the consumer doesn't readily understand. I want to buy a house. Get me that house. Take me, show me that house. I want to sell my house. Do what you got to do to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we've got a caller online, so I want to come back to that.
Sure.
This is Francis from Clarence. Francis, how can we help you?
Good morning.
Morning.
A buyer of a house, is there any way to, I'm trying to think how to say this, like not to negotiate a house lower, but for instance, to reflect a sales contract that's lower so that in the end, your taxes won't be as high. For instance, like if the buyer ends up negotiating to say, I'll pay for the realtor's commission, which the seller wouldn't lose any money. It's just so that when it comes time to challenging taxes, is there any other, I'll call it loophole, that would help reduce, even though the buyer and the seller are still paying for the same amount, but the sales contract is reflected in lower so that when it comes time for taxes, you know, it says, hey, I didn't pay as much as you're saying. Do you get the gist of my...
I do, and so I'm sure Jim does too.
Let us take, you handle that one, Peter.
Let's take a swing at this, Francis. Here's what I would consider legitimate, and I'm going to ask Jim to comment on this. You pointed out, Francis, that you can take the purchase price, and as a buyer, you can negotiate directly with the seller to pay the buyer agent commission. That is not part of the purchase price then. So you can reduce the purchase price by the amount of the buyer side commission. Well, let's just say it's 3%, just for an argument, for the moment, which wouldn't be terribly far off from reality today. That's perfectly legitimate, and that reduces your price by 3%. The next legitimate thing that I would argue before we start getting into the quicksand are things that arguably could be called personal property that would be included in the sale. A refrigerator is really not part of the real estate, unless it's included in the listing, but even then you can take it out. Draperies, carpeting, anything that's not affixed to the real estate itself that in such a way that its removal would cause damage. Anything could be called personal property legitimately in that environment, and you can assign a value to it and reduce the price by that much. Once you get past those two items, you start getting in, going down a slippery slope. And are there anything else that you would put into that category that could be legitimately, once you negotiate, let's say you negotiate $200,000 purchase price. That's what the seller is going to walk away with.
Mm-hmm.
But the buyer, for the reasons that Francis is talking about, wants to reduce what will ultimately become the new assessment of that property, which is based upon its sale price,
mm-hmm.
in many cases, depending on the town you're in. So let's assume that we can take 3% off. That's $6,000. And let's say we can find $5,000 in personal property here. So now we've got $11,000. Now it effectively is $189,000 on the deed stamps, the transfer tax, et cetera. So what else? Is there anything else in your mind that could go into that mix? To Francis's point?
Not particularly. You know, I get often asked, Jim, can I buy that garbage can for $1,000? And I'm like, I can't go there. You know, this is my license. So I try to avoid that kind of stuff. A lot of times what happens, Francis, and I understand taxes, I understand money, I do. But when you start talking about chattel ruins real estate transactions. It just does. I've lost transactions over a $200
and
lawnmower.
And chattel is personal property.
Yeah, sorry, exactly. So you can go there, but what happens more times than not is you end up discussing items and you lose track. Either the seller loses track or the buyer loses track of the house and the excitement of raising your family and investing. It's a roof over your head. So a lot of times when people start talking about anything other than a refrigerator and a stove, which is pretty common, you start talking washers, dryers, snow blowers, lawnmowers. I've lost deals over chandeliers. Mm-hmm. Well, Uncle Charlie bought me a chandelier. I want to take it with me. Well, I love that chandelier. And they lose focus and the deal goes south.
Mm-hmm.
So just be careful with that, Francis, is all I can tell you. And there, you got to be careful with, you know, any other things that may be considered not so legal. So just be careful with what you're doing there.
I think it's very good advice. Let's, because, and you mentioned the key thing. We can't advise you to break the law, Francis. We can't advise you, nor would we, to arbitrarily assign a value to something that would be could be ruled by the IRS to be totally illegitimate because it's going to come back to haunt all of us.
Yep.
But legitimate value for legitimate items, sure. And that's something. But Jim's point is well taken. If it becomes a matter of an emotional matter, somebody's emotional tie to the lawnmower or the chandelier, as Jim points out, then it's not worth it. It's just not.
It really isn't. In the long run, the money you're saving on $6,000 in taxes is not worth swinging your legs or swinging your feet, if you know what I mean.
Jim, I want to go back to what you're talking about in terms of the activities of a real estate agent today in our last few minutes here, and just talk about your own practice a little bit and what it is that makes your practice different than what, by virtue of the number of transactions you're involved in and successfully complete each year, what makes what you do different? You've touched on the team concept. What else? What else goes into the mix? And assuming our listeners are going to pay about the same amount for the services of an agent, no matter whether they hire Jim Hoffman or somebody who got their license yesterday, it's going to be about the same. What makes you different?
Well, when you get into real estate and you get good at it, the phone just somehow finds you, and the phone just goes off continuously. And I found myself, we never compromised on our integrity, on our service to people, but you can only go so many miles an hour. There's only me, and that's when I brought Chris on board, Chris Hoffman. She's our transaction coordinator, top person in Western New York doing that. And then we decided to build our team, and we have three fantastic agents. We've got Holly Draves, Amber Wetzler, and Jesse Biggins, and myself. And I think what the difference is on the buy end, you can't go wrong. When we're busy, you don't really care that I have six appointments on Saturday. You just want to buy a house. Well, if I can't do it on Saturday, you don't want to hear, how's Monday? How's Tuesday? Oh, it's a holiday. How's Wednesday? You can't do that. So the team kind of works together and just gives better services, more hours. We can work 7 days a week, 15 hours a day between five people. And that just simply blows the competition out of the water, especially when you have a team working so cohesively like we do. We're very, very tight. I don't want a big team. I'm happy with five, six, seven people. Very happy with that. It gives me some time to relax and kind of smell the roses a little bit, and it gives the team time to relax. And so I encourage people, if you're seriously thinking of buying a home, you need to interview a couple, two, three different real estate people, and you will see a huge difference in service. Testimonials. I'm very proud. I just got my 200th testimonial on Zillow Trulia the other day, and you got to do something right if you got 200 people sitting down and writing about you. You can't be bad at what you do to make that happen. So I'm very proud of that. But other than that, I encourage people to do their homework. You got to do it.
Last minute, tell us about your outlook for the Western New York real estate market for the next year.
All good. I see nothing negative. I think people should jump in sooner rather than later. If you wait this curve out, you're going to lose a lot of money, and it's not hundreds. It's thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. And I just want to say thank you, Peter, along with Charlie, for your vision in real estate. I've been with you for 30 years, and it's been a great ride, and I do appreciate all that the entire Hunt family does, and I mean it. I always compliment you on your vision, and it's I thank you.
And I thank you, Jim. You've helped me a great deal over the years, and particularly in the last few as we've studied the whole issue of teams.
Yeah.
You are my go-to guy to study live and in color the benefit of a consumer's activity relative to our industry through the kind of thing that you've done.
It's the way to go. It really is.
How do people reach you, Jim, quickly?
716-531-2898, 531-2898, or feel free to send an email, james.hoffman@huntrealestate.com. james.hoffman@huntrealestate.com.
Jim Hoffman, one of the leading experts of the marketplace, thank you for being with us today.
Peter, thank you very much.
I'd like to thank our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time. Remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.